Nama Chintama in Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Sudha Nityavukto Avinato Naminami. No. Translation. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete, and it is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition, and it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there is no question of its being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It's never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. And text 134. The holy name of Krishna and his body and his pastimes cannot be understood by blunt material senses. They are manifested independently. Purport. The transcendental body of Krishna, his name, form, qualities, pastimes, and entourage, all constitute the absolute truth and are as good as Krishna. Satsidananda Vigraha. As long as the living entity is conditioned by the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the objects of his material senses, material form, taste, smell, sound, touch, will not help him understand spiritual knowledge and bliss. Rather, these are revealed to the pure devotee. One's material name, form, and qualities are certainly different from one another. In the material world, there's no conception of absolute. However, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we find that there is no material difference between Krishna's body and his names, activities, and entourage. Om Ajnati Vrandasya Vinanda Sarakya Chakchura Mritanya Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dalanti Swapadantikam Mukham kuruti vachanam pangam mangai tegrim yad kripa tamam mande Sri Chaitanya Nisvaram Paramanandamam. The mystery of chanting the holy name is quite interesting, because how can the name be no different from the person? We've said it so many times, heard it so many times, but yet it's a mystery, because in our experience, names and things are different. So how can Krishna be fully present within his name? Of course, we have to understand the nature of spirit and how it is not limited by time, space, and thought. So, normally an object and a name are things that exist side by side, because everything is limited by time, space, and thought. But because the name is spiritual, it is not limited by time, space, and thought. So we cannot think in these dimensions. And thus, it is possible. Krishna and his name are the very same, no different. Within the name of Krishna, everything is manifest. One quote that I like very much is from Rupa Goswami's Nam Astaka, 8 prayers that he has dedicated to the holy name. And in his Nam Astaka, Srila Rupa Goswami has stated in the third verse that he said, the name of Krishna manifests in two ways. One is as the person Krishna, the other is in the form of the sound. And of the two, the sound is more merciful. So, this is also quite significant. He says the reason is, when we make an offense to the person Krishna, we can still purify that by the sound Krishna. And therefore, the sound incarnation of Krishna is more merciful than the person Krishna, which is very interesting, because although the holy name is no different from Krishna, and we see Krishna as we are chanting the name, naturally also we perceive Krishna. In the beginning, we may chant the mantra and not have so much realization about the mantra. It is a sound, it is spiritual, that is, that much we know. But we don't know much about Krishna. But as our knowledge of Krishna is increasing, also our understanding of the name is deepening. Because naturally, in the beginning, when we say Krishna, what do we know? But after some time, we know yellowish dhotis, blackish-bluish color, like the monsoon cloud, playing the flute. As time goes on, we may know more. We may know that there are different kinds of flutes. Venu, a small flute with 9 holes. Murali, a bigger flute, also decorated with jewel. We may know the Mahananda, a very large flute which Krishna plays, and it has a deep, loud sound. And the cowherd boys, they particularly like that flute. Krishna sometimes uses it also to herd the cows. We may know such things gradually. So as we hear about Krishna, also naturally a new dimension begins to reveal itself, and also within the name. So hearing and chanting are therefore closely connected. And not only hearing and chanting, but also remembering. The more we go deep into hearing and chanting, the more we appreciate the nature of Krishna, the more our remembrance of Krishna will also naturally come about. The more easy it becomes to remember Krishna. If we know more and more amazing qualities about Krishna, then naturally it's easier to remember Krishna. Srila Prabhupada also said that Krishna Surya Sam, Krishna is compared to the sun. And he said that the sun is a planet like so many other planets within the universe, and on every planet within the universe there is life. So on the sun also life can be found. However, it said that obviously, in our present body, there is no chance that we could live on the sun. Even coming close to the sun, we would burn to ashes. But one can go to the sun, but one has to have a body, or have a body that is suitable for residing there, a body made of fire. Therefore, if one wants to go before the sun, one has to become fire. Otherwise, one cannot come before the sun. In the same way, Krishna is the Supreme Pure. And therefore, if one wants to go before Krishna, one must be pure. Srila Prabhupada explains. So, in the same way, our relationship with the Holy Name also depends on our purity. We cannot really go before the Name if we are not pure. And then the Name will not manifest itself to us. Then there will be, what will manifest to us is Nam Abhas, the reflection or dim reflection of the name. That dim reflection of the name, because it is the dim reflection of Krishna, is still very potent. It is so potent that even that dim reflection of the name can easily destroy all the reactions of sinful activities within our heart. So it is said, it is compared in Chaitanya Charitamrita to the rising of the sun. Early in the morning, when the sun is rising, first there is some light in the sky. You do not yet see the sun disk. Right? It takes maybe 15 more minutes or so before actually the red ball of the sun begins to rise above the horizon. First, there are rays of light in the sky. And it said, as soon as the rays of light are in the sky, the influence of the night begins to disappear. Immediately, the fears that are connected with the night are gone. 12, midnight, strange sounds in the castle. Yes, you know what I'm talking about.
talking about. Somehow or other, it's just a window that opened up. But how did it open up? It was properly closed. I could swear it was. White curtains flapping, it's just the wind. But outside there is no wind. Anyway, something like that. In a place like Radhanesh, such stories always do well, especially in the evening before bedtime. They do very well.
At night, these things are totally different than in the middle of the day.
So early in the morning, it's a joke, but just before bed, it's different. I once stayed in a room in a Sri Kshetra, and it was Krishna Kshetra Prabhu's room. It was full of books. So many books were there, and I had sort of checked them all out, except one. And just before taking rest, I took that one book off the shelf, and when I opened it up, it was a horror book. And it was about houses covered in green slime. Oh my God. Just before taking rest. Sure enough, I had a nightmare. Yes. I won't get too much into that nightmare right now.
But these things, they happen. So, the fear of ghosts, the fear of thieves at night is also stronger. But it said, as soon as the light of the sun appears up, all that begins to look quite insignificant. So in the same way, all the fears of material existence, they just disappear even before the pure name is manifest, even when only the light of the name is manifest already. Therefore, Nam Abhas, or the dim reflection of the name, has the potency to destroy all bad karma from the heart, and also has the potency to liberate us from the cycle of birth and death. So these are some of the potencies in chanting. Therefore, even if one doesn't chant purely, one should still understand that his chanting has all the potency to purify the heart. Sometimes we think that my chanting, to be very honest, is hopeless. My chanting is of such a bad quality that when I try to chant and fix my mind on the holy name, it tends to go everywhere and anywhere except the name. And even if by chance it touches the name, then it's for a microsecond. It is very, very difficult to concentrate while chanting. What can be said? Some people become discouraged when they think of how much stress there is in the scripture about attentive chanting. And they feel actually thoroughly discouraged because it doesn't work, no matter what they do. And they feel very guilty. And thus their spiritual life is just mixed with guilt and failure and depression and all these type of things. Not required. Of course, we must try to improve our concentration in chanting. And there are techniques, and we'll get to that. But first of all, one has to have the faith that even if my chanting is not perfect, it doesn't matter in one sense, because at least if I'm trying, then it's Nam Abhas. And Nam Abhas will purify the heart, without a doubt. Thus, it works anyway. One makes anyway spiritual advancement. And because of that purification, eventually, one will come to pure chanting. In this way, we should, with full courage and with great hope, embark upon the chanting of the Maha Mantra. And we should realize that even although I have no taste for this chanting,
That also doesn't matter. Someone wrote me a letter, and it was one of those letters that I have stopped chanting.
Yes, I have stopped chanting because I just have no taste for it. Okay, that's it. I have no taste. So what? Who cares that you have no taste?
You're getting a lot of mercy. Taste or no taste, you're getting a lot of mercy from it. So you would, maybe the taste is not there, but the mercy is just amazing. So, therefore, do it anyway. Not everything in this world is so full of taste, but if it is beneficial, you do it. You're also working, that's also not always full of taste, but you like the money, isn't it? Yes. Well, this chanting gives a lot of wealth, spiritual wealth, not just material wealth, because material wealth is temporary, and how much pleasure can it give? Besides that it's temporary, the pleasure that one gets from material wealth is limited. And the nature of matter is that it is basically different from spirit. And therefore, it can never offer fulfillment to the soul. So no matter how good it is in the material world, even if it is the best, it's still not good enough to satisfy the soul. Yes, whereas spirit is of a different nature. Spirit is, if in the material sense, the dream is always greater than reality. Have you also experienced that?
You dream, and then reality. Yes. And then the spiritual reality, the dream, and then reality exceeds the dream.
In the spiritual sense, the reality is greater than anything one could dream. That's the theme of Prahlad Maharaj's pastime. Where Prahlad Maharaj wanted a kingdom greater than his father and grandfather. And yet, once the Lord reciprocated with him, Prahlad realized this was a childish desire. Dhruva. Short circuit in Swami's brain. Tired from yesterday. Dhruva. Someone is awake. Saved. I'll start again because this was someone's rasavas. Dhruva. Both are young, and anyway, about the same age, actually. A lot of similarities between the two. And both extraordinary devotees. It's no wonder I mixed it up. Anyway, Dhruva there said that he wanted a kingdom greater than his father's, and once he got the darshan of the Lord, he didn't care about any kingdom anymore. He said, I was desiring broken pieces of glass and I got jewels. So in other words, he never expected that. He never asked for that. What he asked for was something totally different, and what he got went way beyond anything he could have ever imagined. That is the nature of spirit. So this is what the holy name offers us. Therefore, taste or no taste is also not the issue, because the holy name will surprise us. The holy name will give us something that goes way beyond what we can imagine. Therefore, check it out. You have no idea what it can bring. Yes. It's worth the experiment. Try it for a while and see what happens. And miracles do happen. And if you don't believe in that, then look at Mahavishnu Maharaj. He's a living miracle. How is it possible? that he can go on like this. And there's only one thing. It is the chanting of the holy name. Because the holy name, what does it do? At one point, it touches the heart and it awakens desire. Desire that you didn't even know you had it. There are so many desires. Let's not open up Pandora's box and speak about all the hidden desires in the heart. But one desire that is there that we didn't even know we had is the desire. Desire to serve Krishna. And this desire is awoken by the chanting. And then such a taste comes that one doesn't care anymore about any material limitation. And this is how you look at the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, and it's very interesting because they had generally in the kirtans they had singers and they had dancers. And if you look who the dancers were, some of the principal dancers were Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur. And they were both of the same generation. And it is described that that Advaita Acharya was 50 years older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas at age 24, and thus, he was as a sannyasi, he was young. But that made Advaita Acharya approximately 75. So he was in his late 70s when in Jagannath Puri, about 75 in the Navadvipa pastimes, and he was the principal dancer, one of the main dancers. And Haridas was about the same age. And there is Haridas and Advaita, and they are just dancing and dancing and dancing.
The old fogies.
Yes. Nothing like that. They simply transcended their age. It had nothing to do with the limitations of the body. So it is very interesting to see that the holy name can lift us above these limitations. And that is amazing. It is a mixture of desire and empowerment. Somehow or other, the devotee desires and then just starts to go beyond the limitations of the body, and then Krishna, seeing that desire, Krishna, all right, I'll grant you a little extra energy then. And somehow or other, make it possible. And in this way, we see again and again that the miracles are coming about. Just like Srila Prabhupada's dancing during the Rath Yatra, in 1973 in London, which is a classical event. The story was preceded, actually, if you read the Lilamrita carefully, you will find that prior to going to London that year, Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur, and that his sister, Pishima, had cooked for him something in mustard oil, and Prabhupada ate it, and straight after he got really unwell, pains and in the stomach, and he's saying, oh, she has poisoned me, and this wasn't cooked properly, and he got severe dysentery from it. He was quite unwell. Then, as Prabhupada was really ill, then at one point he says to the devotees, call my sister. And everyone, oh no, my sister, no. And then Prabhupada said, call my sister. So, what to do? They called Pishima. And then Prabhupada asked her to cook puris and deep-fried eggplant. And everyone knew she was going to do it in mustard oil, and it was going to be deadly. And they were sure this was going to be the end of Prabhupada. And then she cooked these preparations, and there was nothing anyone could do to stop it. Then Prabhupada actually ate it. This is it. Finished. Prabhupada said, no. He said, my mother always used to cook eggplant and puris if we had dysentery for us. So, anyway. Then he ate that. And he recovered, but he was still very weak. Still very weak. So on the way, Prabhupada was his secretary, who was sitting next to him usually in the first class, or the business class, moved to the back, to an empty seat, so that Prabhupada could lie down on two seats, something he never did. So Prabhupada was very weak.
And then when he came to that Ratiyatri in 1973,
they had arranged that he would sit on Subhadra's cart, and he didn't sit down. Said, no, that's all right. He remained forward before the cart. He ran up and down. He started to dance in the chanting of the holy name. And this hall and the kirtan just took off, and it just became like something that reminded of the Ratiyatra of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya's Ratiyatra was also different than any Ratiyatra before. In Jagannath Puri, Ratiyatra has been going on since thousands of years. And it is certainly an amazing event. Huge Jagannath, and all these Brahmanas beating the gongs, and so on. But still, never before in Puri had anything happened like at the time of Ratiyatra when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present. As Ratiyatra was approaching, the devotees from Navadvipa had arrived, and as they arrived, they performed this Sankirtan. These Sankirtan parties are described as the Beda Sankirtan parties, Madhya Lila chapter 11. And there you find a description that when the devotees started chanting, no one in Puri had ever heard or seen such chanting and dancing. And it was known as Prem Sankirtan. It was just full of ecstatic love. And people, they came running from everywhere. How they found out about it, how they heard about it, but people came running from everywhere. The people that heard it came, others, they called others, and somehow or other, the whole town of Puri came running to that kirtan. And that was only the warm-up to Ratiyatra, because these were just the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who were engaging in kirtan. And when Mahaprabhu himself joined the kirtan in Ratiyatra, Lord Jagannath couldn't hold himself back. He was like about to jump off his altar. He couldn't wait. When is Ratiyatra? He's counting the days. And then finally, yes, finally Ratiyatra. He, Jagannath, wanted this Ratiyatra. Usually it's the other way around. We are waiting for Ratiyatra. But this time, Jagannath was waiting for Ratiyatra because he wanted to see the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this dancing, this was just something else. It had nothing to do with the material world. He would throw himself in the air so high, well, you couldn't believe it. He would fly up in the sky and then land, and sometimes not even on his feet, but he would just crash on the ground with so much force that everyone was sure, now all the bones in his body are shattered. And then he would just get back up and do it again. It's like some people couldn't tolerate seeing this crashing on the ground again and again. Crash, crash. He was flying above everyone else. When he spun around, it was so fast, it said like a firebrand, or if you take like a torch, a fire, you spin it around quick, you get a circle of fire. Like that. That's how fast Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was spinning. He forgot himself. He went beyond himself. There was no question of any material consideration. It was the unbridled desire, because that is the spiritual world. The spiritual world means unbridled desire. Here in the material world, you desire something. I said it before. The dream is this big, and reality is, well, a little smaller. What can you do? Right? It's easy. Like Hriday Chaitanya Prabhu has, from the day that he came, and I was also here at the time, and from the day he came, he became involved in fixing Radhadesh. And because it was an old run-down castle, actually, when they first got it, with a big drafty loft where the brahmacharis would sleep. And he started fixing up this castle, and he never stopped. And it's still going on. Actually, I walked past his office 2 days ago, and I saw him there with drawings, and I thought, here he goes again, fixing the castle again. There is no end to it. But it is like that. When we serve Krishna, there is no end to it. But it took many, many years. Many years, right? Little by little. The gold leafing, little by little. Rudradev came in and did all the paintings next door, on the walls, on the ceiling. Then he did the museum. How much work? Years and years of service of so many devotees, so many things collected here, and Matsya Avatar from Italy made this amazing, amazing altar for Radha Gopinath. First they were upstairs in the room where now the ladies stay. That's how it was when we were here. Yeah, in UK, just like that. Yeah. So many changes, so many improvements. The kitchen was changed, so many changes. No end to it. In the spiritual world, it's easy. Even in the material world, it's blood, sweat, and tears. Right? It's years, it's a lifetime. Here you have to give your whole life for a little gold leaf. Yeah? But there, in the spiritual world, unbridled desire. Unbridled means it's not limited. A horse bridled with reins, right? No, unbridled. Free, unbridled desire, free to express. In the spiritual world, we are free to express to our full potential. No limitation. Like today, I heard the kirtan and I thought, oh boy, I'm gonna miss it. What to do? But I've got too much kirtan in my bones, and I thought, I guess I'm gonna let this one go. That's how it goes in the material world. But on the spiritual plane, it's not like that. No fatigue, no squeaky joints. No headaches, not that sort of worn out feeling, and no bags under the eyes, nothing. No parts of the body that start bulging left and right. Even in the spiritual world, one can eat and eat and eat, and one doesn't explode. Here, you know, one more gulab. It's come to a limit. But in the spiritual world, there are no limits. And this is the amazing experience of the Holy Name. And that is the most wonderful experience in devotional service. That there is no limit. And this is what we know. We've come again together for a festival. This time, Radha Summer Festival. And it's not so much about what's on the program. What's on the program? Is it an exciting thing? Is it not an exciting thing? Well, I like this, I like that. It's not exactly that. It's more all these devotees come together. And somehow or other they all do service. And all that service combined. So many people's service is all coming together into a spiritual atmosphere. And that creates the whole thing. Right? And you never know what's going to happen. What's going to happen in a kirtan? Someone gets spontaneous. We were in Africa, and there was a kirtan with a group of African devotees, and we started the circle. You know, the kirtan, and there's the circle, and everyone takes one step to the middle, and in and out, and one step in, and one step out, and in the circle do we dance, the Hare Krishna dance. And suddenly, that suddenly one of these devotees, instead of stepping to the middle, he just jumped 1 meter up in the air from one side to the circle of the other.
Everyone got excited.
The drummers, they immediately sat down on their knees. And then everyone started doing it.
I was just watching, because this went beyond my capacity. But I saw something, and for a moment I thought, maybe this was going on in Jagannath Puri at the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and maybe just now it's being revealed, right? Maybe it's being revealed. This is the nature of transcendence, that always new and always fresh taste is being revealed. And thus we are excited to see what is coming when the Vaishnavas come together. And when the Vaishnavas, yes, when they get down to it, to chanting Hare Krishna, then you know something's going to happen. And then you see Mahavishnu Swami, bells and all. Unfortunately, Maharaj has lost his head in the Ganga, in the Ganges. He came in South Africa during Rath Yatra with this big sombrero. He had this big straw sombrero, and on it was Govardhan Hill, cows, Radhakund, Shamakund, and only he knows, and Krishna. What else? But it was all of Vrindavan Dharam there. And in this way, Maharaj brings us the spiritual world. But it's not really the hat, right? It's really the head and the heart that brings us the spiritual world, his commitment to Krishna. So this is what devotees bring, their commitment. Not a commitment of merely saying, I will do it, but a commitment of someone who said, I will do it, and then did it. That commitment speaks louder. That speaks louder. This is how we're looking at the Vaishnavas. Like one example is we are celebrating both appearance days and disappearance days of Vaishnavas. And it's said that the disappearance day is more important than the appearance day. It's said because on the disappearance day, that Vaishnava has revealed his service. He has revealed his service to the Lord. So therefore, the disappearance day is given more importance than the appearance day in our tradition. So this is wonderful to see how devotees make a commitment to Krishna, make a commitment to chanting Hare Krishna. I was talking about chanting Hare Krishna in a practical way. It's not always easy. Some days we are full of energy and then we chant really deep and nice and concentrated and it works, and some days you are tired and it's a little more difficult, and some days we are super busy and somehow or other it's a bit of a squeeze to chant the rounds. All these things happen to everyone, because this is the material world and the modes of material nature come in waves, and there's nothing you can do about it, and when it hits you, it hits you, and what can you do? But somehow or other, the chanting stays. It stays with us. I have chanted in all kinds of conditions. I have chanted. I've chanted here in this temple. I've chanted all over the world. I've chanted in Africa, seeing the face of a lion in front of my window. Not a real lion, but the lion that was painted on the back of the bus that was parked in front of my window. I've also chanted once in Australia when we were on traveling Sankirtan.
We parked next to a horse race track. And in the morning we were chanting our rounds, walking on the horse race track, going around each in our track. So I have chanted rounds in all kinds of conditions. I've chanted my rounds sitting in the Yamuna with the water up to my neck and my beads floating in the water. It's very nice. I have also chanted in Nepal, in Kathmandu, in 1979 with Mahavishnu Swami. Somehow or other, it was all going on. He even made me his sankirtan partner for a while. Sometimes we would take a nap in the park. I remember also. And when I came in the temple in Kathmandu, I came in and he came at me. He was leading a kirtan, and he came at me and he hit me with the mridanga really hard, you know. And he said, "Chant." And I thought, "Shall I hit him back?" But then I chanted. I surrendered. He got right to my false ego. And then 2 years ago in Durban, he was leading a kirtan, a Guru Puja, and I walked in a little late, and he came at me with this accordion, and he did it again. He smashed it into me, and I, at the same time, thought, "Shall I hit him?" And then I was back in 1979, and again, I surrendered. So I thank Mahavishnu Maharaj for always making me rise above the bodily platform. And in this way, by the mercy of the devotees, by the mercy of the devotees only, can we chant the holy name. Alone we are weak, we are not strong, but by the mercy of the devotees, somehow or other, it's going on. When we come together, we get some new energy. That's why we're here. Rain, no rain, today no rain. It doesn't matter because it's transcendental, and the association of the devotees will give us new strength to carry on, even when we are alone, far away from Radhadesh. But we know that we are not alone, because we know that all over the world many people have just done what we also did. Somehow or other they caught up early, while the world was still asleep. Somehow or other, they took a bath. And somehow or other, maybe tilak. And somehow or other, they also, while the rest of the world is snoring away, are chanting Hare Krishna. We are never alone in chanting Hare Krishna. Many are chanting with us. And that is such an inspiration. Knowing that actually, everywhere on the planet, there are devotees of Krishna who are doing just what we are doing. And that gives us a lot of strength. And sometimes we come together and recharge and then go back out. We come back together and see what's going to happen next. I won't take any more time. Thank you very much. Any questions, any comments? Okay, the Hare Krishna mantra, where is it actually originally explained in the scriptures? The Hare Krishna mantra is mentioned in several scriptures. One is in the Kali Santarana Upanishad. So Upanishads are very important, because the Upanishads are known as the Sruti, that which has been heard. It said they have directly emanated from the breath of the Supreme Lord. The Sruti are other scriptures such as Puranas, Mahabharata, Ramayana, that what is remembered, that was written down later. So some are not accepting Smriti is very authoritative, But everyone accepts Shruti. Everyone accepts Upanishads. No one will question the authority of the Upanishad. And it says in the Kali Santaran Upanishad, Iti Sodasakam Nanam Kali Kam Sanasanam, that in these 16 syllables of all the effects of the age of Kali can be destroyed. And then it comes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So the holy name, also in that sequence, because, for example, in the state of Bihar, in India and in other places, they start chanting, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Anyway, once it's going on for a while, it doesn't matter because, you know, you just, in your mind, you just make it begin at Krishna. But it is also mentioned in the Vedas as beginning with Hare Ram. Yes. However, it is established, again, in Vedic scripture that the name of Krishna is more potent than the name of Ram. It is said that the name of Krishna, or no, I should say the first name of Ram, the name of Ram can certainly grant us liberation, but the name of Krishna, only the name of Krishna, can grant us love of God. Therefore, we are chanting the name of Krishna. Yes. And thus, Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom all other incarnations emanate, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Parivasa Sutra, or the one verse in Bhagavatam that is identified as the verse that sheds light on the whole Bhagavatam, is Eti Chamsakalapumsa Krishna Subhagavan Svayam Indrarya Kalambhokam Radiyanti Yuge Yuge. Which means that of all the incarnations mentioned in the scriptures, Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who appears in his own original form. That, then, Padma Purana, as we read today, established that Krishna and his name are all different. Therefore, the name of Krishna is the name of the original personality of Godhead. Therefore, Krishna first, and Ram second. Krishna meaning the all-attractive, Hare referring to the internal potency, Hara, Srimata Radharani, and the Ladini Shakti, and Ram, Ramanta Yogine Nante Satchinana Chidatmani, referring to the transcendental bliss which is experienced in the spiritual world, and also to the various Rams, Lord Ramachandra, Parasaram, and in this way, the holy name of Krishna is certainly fully authorized, mentioned in the scriptures, and no different from Krishna. The last thing I must say is that not only is the holy name fully potent because it is Krishna, but and thus sometimes Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the holy name has lotus feet, which I like, the lotus feet of the holy name. But also there is the added mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has added his mercy to the effect of the chanting of the holy name. Therefore, in this age, the chanting of the holy name, especially very quickly, gives all the benefits. Therefore, there is nothing better than chanting the holy name. Absolutely. It is the best of the best. Jagannam Anasam, the topmost activity in the entire universe. So, is that enough Shastra or you want more? No, thank you very much. I think every army runs on its stomach. sold a Sankirtan Vani also. So I think it's time now to end and to continue with the order of the day. Hari Nam Sankirtan Ki.